Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we begin a series of sermons, as I mentioned at the beginning, looking at our congregation's new vision statement, its biblical basis, and how it can inform our congregational life and practice and mission. The series is entitled Knowing Christ, Making Christ Known, and our focus for today is the life of Christian worship based in Hebrews 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with many gifts, some that we see and some that we do not see, but we pray that as we come into your presence today, you would be at work among us through your Holy Spirit, that you would send us the gift of your word and enrich our lives through our meditating on that word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Strategic planning, future planning, vision statements, mission statements. Some people love these things. I am not one of those people. That's my little disclaimer as we begin this series and my encouragement to any of you who might think similarly. I realise that these things are not everybody's cup of tea. But I do believe these processes and these sorts of statements can bear fruit when they are biblical and thoughtful and faithful and practical and embraced by a group of people. So I hope this little series of sermons is a step in that kind of direction. The St. Mark's Vision Statement is a document that's developed over the last couple of years. It was adopted earlier this year at our AGM. It describes our congregational vision in this way: to know Christ in His Word and make Christ known in His world. And that's drawn from two passages, Philippians 3:10-12 and John 17:3. Passages that talk about the importance of knowing Christ, not just intellectually, but personally and powerfully. Knowing the resurrection of Christ is the focus in those passages, and receiving Christ and then helping others to know Christ on that personal level too. The mission statement, which simply describes how that begins to happen, we gather in Jesus' name, grow through His word and sacraments, and share His love with others. In other words, this is the work of God, the triune God, in us and to us and for us and through us. And we're simply taking part in what God is already doing in His world. The action statement then identifies some of the key opportunities that we believe we have at St. Mark's to do this. By the grace of God and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we seek to fulfill this mission and vision through a life of worship, spiritual growth, Christian care, school ministry, and reaching out. And those are the five key areas that I'm going to go into a bit further over these next 5 weeks. So the first one on the list is worship. What is worship? I want to begin by talking about what worship is not, and then look at what worship is, and then look at what all that means for us. It says in Hebrews, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and a storm, to a trumpet blast, and to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them." This is Mount Sinai that's being spoken about, where God made His first covenant with the people of Israel. These are the things that it entailed. And it says then in verse 21, "The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.'" Sounds scary, doesn't it? And in many ways, it was. God's mercy was hidden at Sinai. It was there, but it was hidden. So the whole scene was dark and it was mysterious and it was fearful. Even for Moses, this great man of God, he trembled with fear. God's holiness was present, and God's holiness can be a very overwhelming thing, a very overwhelming experience for sinful humanity. Some people don't come to church for this very reason. Either they are unsettled by the holy law of God, or they're upset by the unholy legalism of God's people. Either they don't want to go to that place because someone once did something or said something to them, or they don't want to go to that place because if I walked in there, the roof would fall down. People say those kinds of things. As you know, our roof already fell down and we just patched it up again, so no problem. But the writer of the Hebrews wants us to know that is not actually what you're coming to when you come to Christian worship. It's not doom and gloom. It's not fear and trembling. It's not a scary place. It's not an unwelcoming place. It's not a harsh place. At least it shouldn't be. It should be a place of God's holiness, but also a place of God's mercy and grace and peace. So what is worship? And I'm talking specifically today about communal worship, what we do together, usually on a Sunday morning. There are lots of types of worship, lots of ways to worship God, but the focus today is this, our communal worship. What makes it so special? Well, Hebrews says, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. These are the unseen realities, the heavenly realities that God says makes up our worship. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's a lot to come to. And that's an overwhelming experience too, potentially, for people, but hopefully, in a positive sense, it's a very awe-inspiring, very beautiful thing to be coming to. It tells us that when we worship as God's baptized children, we come into His presence. We come into His merciful presence. We come into a place where the angels dwell and the angels work. We join in the songs of the angels. I mean, the glory to God, the holy, 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 these songs we often sing, these are the songs of the angels. We take part in their worship and they lead us in worship. We come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, those who have died in Christ. They're here with us. Because heaven is here with us. This is a good place to think about them, to meet them, to remember them, because they are present too. We come to God as judge, but not judge who wants to condemn us, judge who wants to vindicate us and declare us innocent and justified, that kind of judge. We come to the church of the firstborn of Jesus who mediates between us and God so we can bear His presence. Because He has borne our sin. And we come to His blood, which speaks a better word, a word of grace and mercy, as we receive it, as we often do in Holy Communion. You know, so often we get sidetracked by the human realities of Christian worship. The buildings, the worship service orders, you know, the music styles, they're all important things, but they're not the most important thing. All the while, God is inviting us to a taste of heaven. A taste of heaven. And renewing us and restoring us and redirecting us for life here on earth. So what does all this mean for us as a worshiping community at St. Mark's? First thing it means is that we do it. That we do it. That's fairly simple, isn't it? That we come, that we're part of it. Hebrews says, see to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks. That you do not refuse Him. Our vision statement puts it this way, we prioritize Sunday worship as integral to our communal life. We prioritize it. It's important to us. It's not an optional extra, but it's the heartbeat of who we are as a community, what we aspire to be as the people of God. Second point says, we continue to explore and implement a rich program of worship, including combined services. And for those who have joined our congregation since we stopped having our combined services, they were basically a service at 9:30 rather than 8:30 or 10:30 where we tried to combine the different styles of worship. I mean, we're going to have to worship together in heaven forever. We might as well get used to it now, right? And learn to enjoy it together. A rich program of worship. C, we encourage members to use their gifts to enhance our worship life with a focus on our young members and those gifted in music, technology, and visual arts. These are just a number of areas of our worship life, but a number that we've identified as important to us to focus on in the next little while. And our young people, not because all people can't contribute and enhance the life of worship, but because this is a pretty special way we can encourage our young people in their life of service in worship, is getting involved in these areas that they might feel gifted in or be gifted in. Finally, we explore other worship opportunities that help make Christ known. We help others to receive the gifts we believe we've been given, to invite others to enjoy a taste of heaven that we have tasted. I encourage you to consider who you might invite along to join in these special times of worship that we share, and to see that as the starting point, not the ending point, of your connection to them and encouragement of them. The writer of Hebrews says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and with awe." You know, it is a great privilege and a joy to worship a good and gracious God. And I'm thankful for sharing that privilege and that joy with you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to come into your presence, and so we come. But remind us as we come what we are coming to. Not doom and gloom, not fear and trembling, but your good and gracious voice speaking to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, so that we can come into your presence, heads held high, ready to receive your mercy and love and joy and peace again, and be inspired by it for our lives in this world. Lord, may it be so today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.